It doesn't get worse than this. We had the monopoly on God. We knew that we were God's own people, that we were special, and that we were loved. We'd been given the truth. We knew just how to live. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, and Peter told us to baptize them. It doesn't get worse than this. We know that sexual relationships between two men or two women are an abomination. They're an offence against the natural order and God. The Hebrew Bible and the New Testament are very clear on this. And yet in our very own Baptist Union of Churches, there are people who would bless such relationships and offer them the sacred rite of marriage. It doesn't get worse than this. We know that Jesus calls us to his table just as we are. We know this means offering the sacrament of marriage to all who are willing to live out its vows, straight or gay, bisexual or transgender. And yet in our very own Baptist Union of Churches are those who would turn some people from their doors and refuse to bless their relationships. We're gathered here today, as we gather every week, with a range of theologies, a range of attitudes, and a range of experiences. Some of us are just appalled by the idea of gay marriage. Some of us think it's well past time. Some of us don't know what we think, and some of us just don't care. And as most of you will know, in a few weeks' time, four of us, that's Shelley and Ian and Nathan and I, will represent our church at the Delegates' Dinner, which is the biannual gathering of the Baptist Union of Victoria. And when we're there, we'll be asked to affirm a statement which locks down an understanding of marriage as something that exists between a man and a woman only. And with that motion, a great big hornet's nest has been stirred up, and rumours abound. I've heard that the churches which have petitioned to put this on the agenda will leave the union if the statement is not affirmed. I've heard that other churches will leave the union if the statement is affirmed. I've heard some people arguing for an enormous fight and a big split because it's through schism that the church grows. I've heard other people argue for a split so that the holy people can get on with being the church while the others all rot in hell. I've been told how to circumvent the motion, whichever way it goes. And I've been told that those people who circumvent the motion will be severely disciplined. And if the statement is affirmed, there are some ordained Baptist ministers who are talking of handing back their ordination and going freelance, working for their congregations but without their ordination. And there are people in the ordination stream at the college who are wondering if they can be ordained if the decision goes one way or the other. It really doesn't get worse than this. One of the greatest frustrations of the Baptist Union of Victoria is also its great gift, and that is its variety. It encompasses an enormous range of theologies and personalities, church practices and liturgical styles. Some congregations have over 1,000 people meeting at every service several times each Sunday. Others are tiny, much smaller than ours, half a dozen people gathering in a small room. Some will accept women as leaders and some won't. Some services are like rock concerts. Some use a very formal liturgy. Some churches see their primary concern as social justice. Others are really motivated to work for individual salvation. And others are interested in group identity formation. And so on and on and on. There are so many ways to be a Baptist in Victoria. With all of these differences, it's very tempting for us to label each other. We put the right-wing conservatives over there and the inner-city elite over there, and we don't like to talk. We can label each other by our suburbs and our congregational demographics, the way we live out or express our faith, by our theologies, and in other ways, and we often do. Labels are used all the time in the suspicious climate of the contemporary church, and I'm certainly guilty. Speaking for myself, when other Christians disagree with me, I really try to remember that they hold some of the truth. But most of the time in my heart, I suspect that I really hold the whole truth. And I find it hard not to feel contempt towards people who read the Bible differently, holding a different newspaper in their hand, to allude to Martin Luther. I think it was Luther. It might have been someone. But got there in the end. That's a problem with getting spontaneous. I always make a mistake. It's all too easy to dismiss other people's opinions, other ways and other subcultures. And constricting labels and stifling boxes often come to mind. And when I think about the upcoming delegates' dinner, I feel a swirl of labels and boxes, some nightmare from a hellish mailroom, and I feel pretty sick. I don't know about the others of the four of us who are going, but I'd like to beg off. I'd like to stay home. And particularly for my role, I'd like to rethink this call to ministry. I don't like conflict. I don't like to listen to people whose beliefs are so different to mine and whose opinions are voiced so stridently and with such horrible judgment. I'm really not sure I want to be ordained by a union which declares a stance on this or any other issue, since I believe that discernment on this and many issues is a task for the local church and not for the church united. And like the first disciples who we heard a bit about tonight, I find being chosen by God is not an easy thing. I thought it would provide clear answers, but it's given me lots of hard questions. I thought it might provide privilege, but it gave me a heap of thankless and mostly invisible tasks. I thought it meant coming home, but it's sending me on difficult journeys to places I'd rather not go, even unto a reception centre in Keilor. And like those first disciples, I am struggling to accept that the Holy Spirit falls upon everyone who hears the word, and not just the people in my box. I'm reluctant to give up my monopoly on the truth, because there's a certain gleefulness, which you've probably particularly seen in Ian and Nathan and I, that comes with being right and with being seen to be right. There's what I would call an impish delight in sensing one's privilege in an argument or looking down one's sulphurous nose at the fears and the idiocies of others. And I am sure that Ian and Nathan and Shelley and I will see and quite possibly experience some of this glee and some of this impishness at the delegates' dinner. But it's not what we're called to manifest. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus came so that his joy might be in us and that our joy might be complete. And I reckon our joy is found the moment we recognise the shocking truth that we are chosen by Jesus as friends. Our joy is experienced the instant we realise we are loved. And along with that comes the realisation it's not just us who are chosen, it's not just us who have the truth, because everyone else is chosen too. Because God's nature is to love, and so God chooses everyone. God chooses everyone. And it's in that understanding that our Baptist union lies. I'm chosen, and so I refuse to be pushed from the fold just because my views might be different to yours. And you are chosen, and you, and you, and all those people out there. And I refuse to let you be pushed from the fold just because your views might be different to mine. Because we live in a broken world, this union of chosen ones doesn't yet manifest itself as unity of opinion or harmony of thought. Even within our small congregation, on many matters, there are people at either end of the spectrum and everywhere in between. And whether or not it will be voiced, there will be strong disagreement at the delegates' dinner and strong feeling on every side. But truth won't be found if our church threatens to leave, or if our church gleefully accepts the resignation of other churches with whom we disagree. And nor will truth be found in schism. It will only be found when the Spirit of truth guides all of our hearts and minds. And because we really don't have the whole truth, not me, not you, not this congregation, not anybody else, then the Spirit will only be heard when we are together and listening to one another in love. This sort of careful listening is never easy. It means putting aside the things that don't matter and some of the things that do matter to us. It can often mean swallowing our prejudices and our pride and listening from truth from unexpected quarters, people we don't really like or trust. It means admitting that the truth we hear might not be what we expect nor what we desire. And the truth which emerges might answer a whole new question and not the questions which are before us. Such careful listening will be difficult, and yet to those who are faithful to the call to love, Jesus has promised good things. We will bear fruit which is lasting, and our joy will be complete. So as members of this congregation and thus of the Baptist Union of Victoria, I would urge you all to pray, both in the lead up to and at the dinner for those of us who will be there, and for a long time afterwards. Pray for peace between the churches, that they might exercise patience and respect and kindness with each other. Pray for wisdom, for Nathan and Ian and Shelley and I, that we might listen well and vote wisely. Pray for all the delegates and all the pastors, that no matter where they stand, their decisions be motivated by love and not by fear. And that we can all find ways to respect the enormous range of opinions in the union and that great variety which is both our curse but also our gift. To me and to many delegates, this dinner is looming dark and threatening. But with your prayers behind us and the Spirit of peace within us, it has great potential. It could be a time of connection and dialogue across theologies and subcultures and outlooks. It could be a time of union. And no matter where the truth lies, we will hold fast to the promise of Jesus, that when we seek truth together, loving and being loved, we will experience joy. And we will bear lasting fruit. And it doesn't get better than that.